Isaiah 26, and we're going to read just a few verses if we can tonight, 1 through verse number 8. Obviously, remember that the book of Isaiah was written to God's people, the Jews, during the Old Testament kings period, and we're going to remember that, but there's some application to us tonight as well, and I believe that we can draw that out based on God's character. Notice, if you would, starting at verse number 1, "In that day this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks." Notice it's not the bricks and stones that we see that would normally be the wall around a city here. This is the wall of salvation. He's talking here about heaven. And notice, if you would, in verse number 2, "Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city he layeth it low, he layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor, and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just." Then notice verse number 8. This is where we're going to be tonight. "Yea, in the way of thy right, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee." Tonight I just want to give, I believe, a biblical principle on this idea that we are not ashamed. I am not ashamed to wait on the Lord. It's an interesting concept as we look through the scripture. We find it listed many times. I'm not ashamed to wait on the Lord. And let's find out what the Lord has for us tonight. Lord, would you speak to our hearts through your word tonight? We thank you, Lord, for the fact that we have truth. We have help. And I pray tonight that you'd help us as we learn what it is to wait on you, Lord, and how blessed it is. Help now, I pray, that your word might speak truth to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Another passage of scripture that we have tonight that I want to just mention is also found in Psalm 27 in verse number 14, where the Bible says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Tonight we deal with this matter of waiting and how God has ordained waiting almost in his divine plan that we might be able to learn things through that. Waiting is one of the hardest things we could ever do. How many say amen, Pastor? You know, waiting is a tough thing. We had experience of this. I was with my wife the other day, and to show my extreme love for her, I went to Walmart with her, and she needed some things, and I love going to Walmart. I love going to places with my wife, I should say. If it's Walmart, then it's Walmart, but I love going places with my wife. And one of the things that she needed to be specially cut, and we had gone in there, and we were waiting for a time, and then we were waiting for a longer time, and then we were waiting and waiting for a longer time. And as a matter of fact, I had gone into another store and come to meet her, and she was still waiting. And to be honest with you, my patience was getting very thin. And it was hard to wait on the worker. Well, then the worker came and did her cutting and so forth. Well, then the machine didn't work to write down how much we've got. I thought to myself, how hard is it to write down the price per yard and how many yards we got and deal with that at the cash register? But no, it had to be dealt with that machine, and that machine was not working, and she tried a different machine, and that machine wasn't working. And by this time, we were just thinking to ourselves, all we want is some things to take home, right? And it was very hard to wait, and I almost took the matter in my own hands and started cutting myself, but I decided that wouldn't be good. Here's the deal. Waiting is hard. Waiting is difficult. Waiting is not something that's in our DNA. Waiting is not something that we enjoy. Let me ask you a question tonight. Let's think about that. Why is waiting so hard for us? And I don't mean just spiritually. I'm talking about in any aspect of life. Why is waiting so hard for us as humans? The only possible explanation I could find is this matter that we, now don't be offended at this, all right, but I believe it's at the very heart of this whole matter.
We are selfish people. We're selfish in ourselves, and we want what we want, and we want it now. And we think that if we wait longer, it's going to inconvenience us, or it's going to mess up our schedule, or I shouldn't have to wait this long. And you start to get all these matters in your head about how good you are and how important you are and how much you shouldn't have to wait. Now, I will agree that, you know, most of our waiting is because maybe people aren't in their place when they should be, or, you know, maybe there's a miscommunication or something, whatever it might be. But I think at the very core of waiting is selfishness. This idea that we don't think we deserve that. And I want to just say tonight that the spiritual application that we find in Scripture hits at the very heart of God's plan for our lives. And I believe that it's important for us to remember as growing Christians that we ought not to be ashamed of waiting on God. And there's a biblical principle that we find throughout the Scriptures that helps with this. We're going to be going to several different passages tonight. But I want to help us in this. And the word wait here that we find in Psalm 27, verse 14, and again in Isaiah chapter 26 that we read, is the word that means to look for, to hope, or to expect. And I want to just understand this morning or this evening as we look at the word wait and as we understand this concept, what does that mean to us and how can we learn from that in our lives? I want to give you a couple thoughts. I believe we can get a good perspective of this. Number one, I want to ask you the question, or I want to tell you what I believe waiting isn't tonight. When we talk about waiting, I want to be clear about what it's not. I want you to understand this evening that, first of all, waiting is not doing nothing. Many times when we think of ourselves as waiting, we think of ourselves as sitting there twiddling our thumbs, and we don't have anything better to do, and so we just kind of sit there and we wait for whatever it is that's coming along, and it seems to be, in our mind, a waste of time. But let me encourage you tonight that as a Christian, when we're talking about waiting on God, I'm not talking about sitting down, I'm not talking about staying put, I'm not talking about just simply doing nothing, because that's not what the Bible means when it talks about waiting on God. And so if we talk about a waiting on God, don't misunderstand, this is not a laziness. The preacher G. Campbell Morgan said this, "Waiting on God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. Waiting for God means first, activity under command. Second, readiness for any new command that may come. And third, to do nothing until the command is given." Now, I believe as a Christian, we need to understand then the biblical concept of waiting. And so we understand, first of all, that it's not doing nothing. And when I say wait on God, that doesn't mean just sit here like a bump on a log and say, I'm just waiting for God to do something in my life. That's not what we're talking about. But I do believe it's this expectancy, this hope that comes in our obedience to who God is that really constitutes waiting on God. So number one, it's not doing nothing. I know that's a double negative, and I hope you get the point. Number two, waiting is not doing something else. It's not manipulating our circumstances in order for us to get our own way. Now, we're going to look at an example of that in just a moment, but I want you to understand tonight, church, that waiting is not simply, I'm going to go distract myself with something else while I'm waiting this. Sometimes we use that as an example. It's a lot easier today with the media that we have, right? You go into a doctor's office or you're sitting somewhere and what do you see? Everybody's on their phones, right? And they're just kind of distracting themselves with what's in front of them. And I say tonight, that's not what we're talking about either. I understand that waiting is difficult, but there's a purpose in it tonight. And the Bible's very clear on that. And so waiting isn't these things. But what then is waiting? I wrote down a couple things that I want to help to lay a foundation tonight by way of introduction. Waiting is, first of all, letting God have His time and His will. The missionary Amy Carmichael said it this way when she was learning lessons of Christian growth in her life, "Blessed are the single-hearted, for they shall enjoy much peace. If you refuse to be hurried and pressed, if you stay your soul on God, nothing can keep you from that clearness of spirit, which is life and peace. In that stillness, you know what His will is." She understood what waiting is. It was not a distraction. It was not simply just a doing of nothing, but it was a calming of ourselves and trusting that God is having his plan and his will accomplished. And his time will be perfect when that time comes. The application in our lives under this point is this. God is always doing something in our lives. Church, listen to me, and especially young people and older folks alike who are going through difficulty, I want to be very clear in this tonight that God is always at work in our lives. He's always at work with his program. He has a plan that he is laying forth. He has a purpose for everything. And this time of waiting that seems like God isn't doing anything and I can't see what his purpose is, God is building and God is testing the character of his people. God's greatest desire tonight, church, Christian, is that us, he would build in us a character that he is purposing to build. And that character takes time. It takes effort. It takes a process by which we must go through. And so we need to understand that God is more interested tonight in what we are for him than what we are doing for him. I understand that it's important to be busy, but I also understand tonight that sometimes we get ahead of God, not waiting on him in our lives and for his purpose. Isaiah 26 and verse 8, we read this earlier as our text, and it says, "Yes," or "yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee." Here's the point. Isaiah was saying, listen, we've waited for thee, but it's been in the way of thy judgments. In other words, what we've been called to do, we're doing, and we're continuing on waiting for you, waiting for what you have for us. And so waiting is letting God have his time and his will. And number two, waiting is trusting God in his timing. We're going to talk about this in just a minute, but I want to just help you to understand tonight that God can be trusted, and he needs to be trusted if we're ever going to wait on him. You know, that's where waiting sometimes conflicts with our own will, doesn't it? Because I think if I am in control, similar to if we got to walk out the door at a certain time, I have my ideas about what time we need to be walking out the door, right? And I have my ideas about what our schedules should look like. And if I have to wait on children or, you know, pets or whatever it might be, that kind of conflicts with my plan, doesn't it? And man, if something goes against my plan, man, waiting is just the hardest thing. Come on, you're inconveniencing me. And I tell you, that kind of carries over in our Christian life sometimes, where we think that God's not caring about us and he doesn't know what's going on and he doesn't know that I have a certain thing that has to happen right now and I've got a plan and it's interrupting my plan. And waiting on God is a trial, it's a test, but it's a test of trust for God's timing in our lives. I don't know exactly what's going on in your life all the time, but I want to tell you tonight that trusting God is the most important thing that we can exercise. And when it comes to our testing and trusting of God, it all comes down many times as a matter of waiting on him. And so waiting is trusting God's timing as well. Now let me get to the meat if I can. After we get through some introductions this evening, I want to take you, if I can, to the meat of the message, I believe, and help you to see then number three, what is it that we should wait on? What is it that we should wait on? Would you turn your Bibles over to Genesis chapter 16 tonight? Very well-known portion of Scripture here, and I'll give you some background very quickly here that will help us to come kind of up to speed on that. Many of you already know the story. Remember Abraham? He was promised by God to have a special blessing, and that was a son. And here he was getting on in his years now, rather old. And he decided that he needed to take things into his own hands. He got a little bit concerned. And actually, Sarai, his wife, was one that kind of led him, and I mean lead in the right sense of the term, in the sense she didn't force him, but she gave him this idea, and he kind of went along with that he was going to take things into his own hands. And that's the story that we have in Genesis 16. The story of Hagar, the handmaid of Sarai, and how Abraham got outside of God's will, not waiting on him. Now let's talk about this for just a moment before we get into this, because let me just ask you some very logical questions tonight, all right? Number one, did God tell Abraham what he expected and what Abraham could expect. Yes, all right, so we know that's a very kind of easy question, right? God already told Abraham, this is what you can expect. This is what I'm going to do. Was God's timing Abraham's timing in this? The answer is no. Abraham had his own idea about what should happen, doesn't he? And he has his own idea about how he should take things into his own hands and how he should make this happen, because obviously then, he doesn't tell us this in the Bible, but his thinking was, God has forgotten. Or we might say it this way, we can't trust God for his timing. Now let's bring that over to us tonight, church. Let's bring that to our life. Does God, has he given us his promises and what we can expect from him tonight? Has he given us things to stand on, church? Absolutely. Has he told us that he will provide and he will direct and he will make sure that our lives will be accomplished according to what he wants if we will walk in obedience to him? He has done that. And yet oftentimes we don't trust him to fulfill that which he has begun in our lives. We think God can't be trusted. And so that leads us to do all kinds of things. So I bring tonight some thoughts out of Genesis 16 and what it is that we should wait on and thereby exercise our trust for the Lord. Get these. There's just a few. Number one, I believe we need to wait on God's best for our life. Now you say, that sounds really good, but I want to tell you tonight that if you will get the truth of this message right here and this one thought, that we ought to be patient enough to wait on God for his best in our life, it'll save you all kinds of trouble. I mean by that, the youngest that are here all the way up to the oldest, what we find in Abraham's story in Genesis chapter 16 is that he did not wait on God's best. Did God promise to him a son? He promised to him a special son, a son that's going to be a miraculous son. And Abraham, in the flesh, decided that he was just going to have a son according to the flesh. And I tell you tonight that that's not God's best. And we see that even today, that Abraham getting ahead of God's plan and outside of his will brought the negative side of this, not God's best. And I want to encourage you tonight that we would just simply say, Lord, I'm not ashamed to wait on what's best in my life, and your best is the only thing that I'm going to accept. Now, I don't know what situation that applies to, but that's a principle that applies to everything. I want God's best, and I'm willing to wait on it. I'm not going to go out and pursue it. I'm not going to get out from under my authority. I'm not going to go out from under God's will and the things that I know is right, but I'm going to wait, Lord, on what is best for my life. I'm going to trust you for this. Now, I don't know what that is. I don't know where you are. I don't know how that applies in every area, but I'm just telling you tonight that God's best deserves to be waited for, and we ought not to get ahead of it. The Bible says in Psalm 62 and verse number 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Now get the truth of this verse. David is exclaiming tonight that my soul, and by the way, it's good to talk to your soul every once in a while. You ought to have a little conversation with yourself, amen? Now, don't do it out loud where everybody can hear you. You might be committed or something to some sort of an institution, but I want to tell you tonight that it's important that you talk to yourself. You need to have a conversation with your own self, and you need to say, self, listen, this is what we're going to do. That's what David's doing here, right here, Psalm chapter 62. He says, my soul, wait thou only upon God. In other words, my waiting is going to be upon God and his best for me. Notice it says, for my expectation is from him. Notice we would say, normally, my expectation is on him or to him. But here we're having David say it's from him. You know what? When our expectation is from God, listen tonight, it becomes a lot more easy to wait for him because we know that what we're waiting for came right from him. Our expectation is from him. It's what he has put in our heart, and we're going to wait on him tonight. Listen, when your expectation comes from your own heart, it's going to be a lot harder to wait on God. If you have a plan for your life, if you have what you think is best, when you have your thoughts and your plan laid out, and this is what I'm going to do, and this is where I'm going to be, and this is what I'm going to do to make myself happy, listen tonight, your expectation is from yourself. And you're never going to be able to wait on God. Listen, waiting on God needs to be a part of our Christian character. It needs to be a part of God's process for our life. And waiting on Him is part of how He builds our character. And that needs to come from His expectation. And so let's let our expectations come from God, not ourselves. This is what I think I ought to do. This is where I think we need to be. This is what I think. Listen, if God puts a vision and a plan in your head and it corresponds to God's word and that's what God wants you to do, and I'm destroying the microphone tonight, I want you to understand tonight that's a good thing and wait on Him to accomplish that. And so it's important for us to wait on the Lord at any moment on this process of waiting. We can decide, I'm out of here, right? I'm done. The illustration is... In contrast to what I experienced, has anybody ever been to the arch at St. Louis, in St. Louis, the Gateway Arch? You ever been there? How many have been up to the top of that arch? All right, a couple of you brave souls. If you've been up at the top of that arch, you know that at least when I was there, it's a long time ago, they had little capsules that you went on this kind of tram. And you got into this capsule. There'd be about four people that got into this little capsule. And I mean, it is tight. And they close that door, and you're sitting down, and all of a sudden you feel like, whoa. Well, what happens is you get going. Well, the arch, you know, kind of goes like this. Well, that'd be kind of awkward for cars that didn't adjust. You'd be laying on your back by the time you got up to the top. And so about every so often, the cart goes up, and then it adjusts itself. And then it goes up a little more and adjusts itself. And goes up a little more and adjusts itself. And, man, I tell you, that can get a little bit creepy, especially if you got some claustrophobia going on. And I tell you, it's not fun. At any moment, if you're not patient waiting to get to the top, you could think to yourself, I got to get out of here. But there's no way out. I mean, that door's locked. I'd hate to think if somebody got in trouble or something on there because I don't know how long it takes to get top, but it's not quick. And you've got to be patient waiting on that old tram to get to the top. And finally you break out and you're like, you know, and you're at the top. And it's like, man, that's a challenge. Here's the point. The life that we live, the path that we're on is not like that. You're not locked in. At any moment, you could just hop off and say, I've had enough. How many of us have done that? That's exactly what Abraham did. He said, I'm on board with this, God, and I'll go to another country, and this is great. You're going to give me a land that's going to be great, and you're going to bless me, and boy, this is awesome and wonderful and phenomenal. And they go, and he gets going, and finally he's like, I'm done with this. I'm not waiting any longer. Let me tell you tonight. When we get to that point in our Christian life, you've stopped trusting God. And church, I want to help you to understand tonight that trusting and waiting on God go hand in hand, and it's an essential part of the character that God's building in our lives, waiting on God. We should wait for God's best. It was not God's best for Abraham just to have a son. Do you understand tonight? God didn't just say, go have a son, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. He said, I am going to give you a son, and it's going to be a miraculous son. But Abraham wasn't willing to trust God and wait for God's best. And so, number one, you need to wait for God's best in your life. Does that mean wait for God's best in the direction that you're heading, in the course for your life? Are you waiting for God's best when it comes to the calling of your life? Are you waiting for God's best when it comes to the mate that God would give you? Are you waiting for God's best when he gives you the vision or the calling to do something? Are you waiting for God's best? Or are you going to get out from underneath that and do your own thing? Wait on God's best for your life. And so I want to encourage you in that tonight from Abraham's life. But let me give you number two if I can. And this is really probably a little more nuanced, but number two, wait on God's timing for your life. Wait on God's timing. You've heard the illustration, don't rush the washing machine. How many have been tempted to do that before? You forget to put something in the washing machine, and this happens sometimes at our house. It's like, oh, I gotta have that, you know. They go throw it in the washing machine, and they're like standing there waiting for it to get done, and come on, come on. And you know, the temptation is to reach over and kind of advance the cycle on that a little bit, right? Eh, it doesn't need to rinse so long or spin so long or wash so long. I'm just gonna advance that a little bit. You know, that doesn't work on a washing machine. You're not going to get the intended result that you're looking for. You can't rush the washing machine because you know what happens, right? You end up skipping ahead too far, and you try to go back, and, oh, I don't know, that thing's stopping and starting and trying to go, and everything messes up, and you just ruin the whole thing. You're better off just waiting. And I'm just encouraging you this morning, this evening, that when we are walking our life, it's not just about having God's best, but it's having God's best at God's best time. It's about waiting on God's timing in our life, and waiting on Him for just the right timing is so important. Let me tell you tonight, that's important to God. The Bible says when the fullness of time was come, that's when Jesus came. You know what that meant? That there had to be an exact moment in time where it was God's best. Jesus was God's best. And let me tell you, He could have come at any time and been God's best for us. But it had to be God's best in God's best time. And I want to just help you tonight to understand that trusting God is not just about getting what's best for Him, but getting what's best from Him when it's the right time in our lives. And it just like that washing machine must go through every cycle, and it's got to go through every phase of that cycle in order to have the appropriate outcome, so it is with our lives. We must go through everything that God wants. And may we not be saying to ourselves, I'm just going to rush what God wants, and I'm just going to skip around this one because I don't think I need it. But may God help us as we're going through trials. Boy, maybe we go through phases of life, and it's a phase of child rearing, or it's a phase of physical difficulty, or a phase of financial difficulty, and I'd just rather not do this right now. I'd rather escape what's going on. Let me tell you tonight, God is doing that for a purpose, and His timing is important, and He brings things in our lives that must be in order for us to grow. The philosophy of many Christians is, if it must be, it's up to me. Isn't that sad? If it's going to happen, I better take care of it. That's what Abraham's attitude was. If it's going to be, it's up to me. Instead, we should say, listen, if it's going to be, it's up to God. And if it's going to be in my life, I'm going to wait for Him to direct and bring to fruit and to cause the right things to happen in His time. Because in His time, all things are made beautiful. Ecclesiastes tells us tonight. Oh, what a mess Abraham made of that situation. Abraham was a man of God. It's hard to believe that God, this was the same person that rescued Lot from the king of Sodom, right? I mean, it's hard to believe that this is the same man that God promised was going to have a mighty nation. It's hard to believe that this is the same man that was going to be the father of the Jews. And yet here he is, getting ahead of God's timing, making a mess of this situation. How many times, church, do we make a mess of our lives in a certain situation because we don't wait on God's perfect timing? We just get ahead of God. We know what He wants us to do. I know He wants me to do this, or maybe, I don't know, but I think, and I'm just going to jump out and do this, and we're not ready, and God's not ready. He hasn't moved us. I have one illustration for that as we look. In my life, there's been times when I've seen God work and direct, and there's some things that God put in my heart early on in the ministry about what I thought He wanted me to do. And it was true. God wanted me to do those things. One of them, and I didn't have this going through college, but at the end of school, I went back and worked with my dad on staff full-time there at Gospel Baptist. And I learned what it was to just be patient and wait. And through that course, God made it very clear to me that He wanted me to pastor. And it was about 2003, 2004, early on, when I just really felt like God wanted me to pastor. And then we got this opportunity that we're going to go back and we're going to fill in for a missionary in Mongolia. You've heard the story before. Well, it was my mind and my thought that, hey, we're going to go to Mongolia, we're going to come back, and that's when God's going to put me right in the ministry. I'm going to be pastoring a church. So we did. We came back, and I kind of put out my feelers a little bit, and there were some churches that were interested, and so we went around and I filled in and candidated several churches, and one in particular was very promising. Our heart was knit, and they loved us, we loved them, and we were ready to go. And man, we were really excited. This is it. This is what God's doing. We were struggling with some things. Our house hadn't sold, and there's some other things going on that they were just kind of bothersome things that God just hadn't taken care of yet. But we're going to go ahead because God wants me to do this. Well, I got down the path a little ways, and it came down, the church that I was going to, I was candidating at, they decided they were going to vote, bring it to a vote. And right before the vote, all of a sudden, I just got this unnerving feeling. I mean, I can't explain it. This not the peace of God. Something wasn't right. And I went and I talked to the men there, and I said, men, I know we've gone down this path, and I just, You know, I can't explain it. I don't know what's going on. I just don't have peace about this. And I went back and talked to Dad and so forth. And I'm telling you, it was so perplexing to me. I just couldn't figure out what God was doing. But man, I felt terrible about this because the timing was off and everything was just wrong. And I thought this is what God wanted. And I had to step back and say, Lord, I think I've done what you wanted me to do, but not in the time that you wanted me to do it. And you know, that was in 2005. I ended up working with my dad another 5 years as an assistant pastor before God finally let me leave and be a pastor like he had put in my heart a long time before. Now, what am I saying? That was a situation in my life where I looked back on and thought, man, I knew what God wanted me to do, but I was way ahead of God. He wasn't done with me there. I moved without him having a direction in my life. He had not been the author of that. And I want to tell you tonight, church, that's kind of dramatic, and there are other smaller situations, but may God help us not to get ahead of him until he moves us, until he gives the command what he wants us to do. Wait on the Lord and wait on his timing. Ecclesiastes 3:11 is a verse that I gave you earlier. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. In his time. You go out tonight and you look at the seeds in the ground or the trees that are out there, and there's nothing much beautiful about those trees right now. But you know what? In his time, they're going to be beautiful, aren't they? And those apple trees are going to have blossoms, and those cherry trees are going to have blossoms. And all of those wonderful trees, the dogwoods and all those, they're just going to be beautiful in his time. Why? Because there's a season that God's working on. If we get ahead of that, like we see, some of those daffodils are tricked a little bit this last week. Did you see that? As you're going out the driveway, you'll see some daffodils poking their heads up there. I feel bad for them because they're not going to make it through the next couple weeks. I think they're going to freeze and have some trouble. But here's the point. You get ahead of God and you're going to make a mess of things. Let's let him do his work in his time. And so we need to wait not just on God's best, but we need to wait on God's perfect timing. And then number three, we need to wait on God's moving in our life. And when God's timing is right, God will move. I remember when God directed us and we were getting down to kind of a funnel in our life. You know how that is, right? God starts to squeeze us. And I can't go into all the details, but about 2010, God was squeezing us. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, our house sold. It wasn't even on the market. Someone came to us and said, we're looking to buy our house, and we think yours would be a good one. And I'm telling you, God just did miraculous things there. When God's timing was right, let me tell you how he worked. And this is I'm not making this law, but I'm saying when God moves and his time is right, he makes it happen. Here's what God did. Within a month, 30 days, from us not having any clue what God was doing, but feeling the pinch and the squeeze, we went from having really no idea what God was doing to having our house sold and already having moved and moved into a new church and started a new ministry within 30 days. Now you tell me that God can't do something and that when he moves, it's not sudden. And when his time is right, let me tell you, things happen. Hallelujah. And that's how God works. And I just say tonight, church, and that's, again, a dramatic presentation. But listen tonight, don't get ahead of God. You say, I'm so afraid I'm going to miss what God wants. And I remember feeling that way too. Listen, if you're in the heart of God's will today, you're doing what's right today, you don't have to worry about what God's will is going to be tomorrow. You will find it. He already has it for you. It's not so much about finding God's will for your life. It's about walking in God's will today. And let me tell you, when God's will is revealed and his time is right, it'll happen. What God says he will do, he will do. And we don't need to move ahead of him. I understand. Oh man, you get out to that precipice and it's like, Lord, you see how close we are? Come on, Lord, where are you at? And you just don't know what's happening until he's ready to move. And when he's ready, that path becomes clear. He does it all. I just say tonight, when Abraham was ready and when God's time was right, he didn't have to finagle. He didn't have to work. He didn't have to try to manipulate the circumstances. It was there. Isaac came. Everything worked the way it should, and God made and provided himself his promise. I tell you, that's amazing to me because God's timing was right and God's moving was right. And so we need to wait on God for these things. I hope that that's been a blessing. Let's go on to number four tonight. I want to just give you, if I can, as we close, what is the product of waiting? What does it bring in our lives? Okay, so we've waited. We saw God work. What happens? Well, let me give you a couple of these things. You got your notes? I think it'll be a help for you to write some of these verses down tonight. It'll be a blessing to you. Number one, waiting produces hope and expectation. You say, Pastor, not in my life. When I'm in the Walmart line, it doesn't produce expectation and hope. It produces frustration. Amen? Yeah. But here's the thing. Remember where our expectation is? In the Lord, right? In Him. My expectation is from Him. So let me tell you, when our expectation is in Him, when I'm waiting, the opposite happens. Instead of getting frustrated and overwhelmed and I'm just out of my element here, I think things ought to be happening. Instead of that, we have expectation and hope. It's a miraculous thing. It's a wonderful thing to be in our lives when we have hope. Listen to what Psalm says, 130 in verse number 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. Now that word hope is not I'm holding on with my last breath or whatever. It's that idea of expectation. It's my hope is in what God is going to do. Lamentations 3 and verse 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. There's an expectation there. I find another verse, if I can, Isaiah 25 and verse 21. O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Thou hast made a city of an heap, of a defensed city, a ruin, a palace of strangers. To be no city, it shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify Thee. The city of the terrible nation shall fear Thee. For Thou hast been the strength of the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is as the storm against the wall, Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place. Even the heat with the shadow of the cloud, the branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. Listen carefully. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make all unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. Here's what he's saying. Do you get the picture? I know I've read it fast. He's saying, listen, God has made cities a destruction of a ruin. They're kind of flat, and it looks like there's nothing to be here. But in God's time, He's going to make a feast. And that feast is going to be beautiful, and it's going to have everything there that you could desire, and it's going to have everything there that God has promised. That's what God promised to them. He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over the people and the veil that is spread over the nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God shall wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Let me tell you tonight, church, that when we wait on the Lord, there is an expectation and a hope that can only come through the Lord Jesus. And we will say, when that expectation is realized, this is what we've been waiting for. This is what it is that God has been preparing. This is God's salvation that we rejoice in. Hallelujah. There's a waiting that produces an expectation and a hope. You say, Pastor, I don't know, man. Waiting is hard for me. I don't know if I can do that. Listen, get your expectation from the one that is giving it. That is the Lord. And when your expectation is on Him, listen, waiting becomes an exercise in hope and expectation. It's a wonderful thing. But Pastor, you don't know my circumstance, man. My time is ticking here. I got to get moving. I got to get busy in what I want to do. No, if your expectation is in God, let me tell you tonight, you will have hope. If you're waiting on the Lord, God produces that hope in our lives. Praise the Lord. And so waiting produces hope. Number two, waiting produces courage or strength. You know the verse, don't you? Isaiah 40, 31. If you know it, would you say it with me? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Say, wait a minute, Pastor. You're telling me that waiting produces courage and strength? How does that happen? I take you back again to the thought of where our expectation is. And when we're waiting on the Lord, let me tell you tonight, God's strength becomes our strength. And when I can't sit and be patient, when I can't continue on with what I'm doing, I just believe that there's something that I ought to be doing. There's something that I need to be, I'm missing out on. Listen, when we understand that, we get anxious and our strength fails us because we're expecting other things. Let me tell you, God's strength becomes reality when we're waiting on Him. Wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's counterintuitive. Waiting saps my strength. Man, when I'm in the McDonald's line and I got to go and I got to have my meal and I got to get to work, man, it just saps my energy. I'm talking about waiting on the Lord. When we wait on the Lord, we have an expectation that produces hope and courage and strength. And so courage and strength is a result of waiting. Number three, and lastly, I see that waiting produces a blessing. I've already read Isaiah chapter 25, verses 1 through 9, but I want to just tell you tonight that the blessing of God is revealed in our lives when we wait on Him. Listen to Lamentations 3, verse 25. The Lord, now get this, this is a direct promise to you tonight. The Lord is good to them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. The blessing is expressly promised to the Christian that waits on the Lord. The Lord is good to him. The Lord produces blessing. There is a direction. There is a help on them that wait on the Lord. Are you waiting on Him tonight? That's where God's blessing is found. Lamentations 3 and verse 25. In conclusion tonight, I give you this verse. So we understand Isaiah 30, verse number 18. Turn in your Bibles there as we close tonight. Isaiah 30 and verse 18. And this kind of echoes what I just gave you as far as the blessing that waiting produces. But I want you to see tonight the purpose then of waiting in our lives. I've mentioned to you that waiting is part of God's plan to build our character and to build our dependence upon Him. Remember that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so is His thoughts higher than our thoughts and His ways than our ways. I want to tell you tonight, there's a purpose, though, in all of this. Can you just trust by faith that God has a purpose in it? You're there in Isaiah 30. Look at verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait. Wait a minute. The Lord will wait? The Lord's going to wait? He's not going to continue on? Therefore will the Lord wait. Why? That He may be gracious unto you. And therefore will He be exalted, that He may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for Him. Do you know what the purpose of waiting is? That we might see God's mercy in our lives. You know what God's mercy is? Us not getting what we deserve. Him holding back what He wants to do in our or what He wants to accomplish as far as judgment or not reaching our full potential for Him. God is holding back. He's waiting. See, why is the Lord waiting? Why can't I do this? Why can't I forge ahead? Why do I have to go through this time? Listen, God is doing that because of His mercy. You're going through a time of difficulty, challenge, a phase of life that's not comfortable for you. I just don't want to be in this phase of life anymore. Let me tell you tonight, it's God's mercy that you're going through that. You say, well, that doesn't even make sense. No, it's so that God can accomplish in us what He wants and that we will be more precious for Him. And that when we come forth, we will be more valuable. We will have more character. We will be more Christ-like because of what we've gone through. That's the purpose of waiting in our lives. And God's doing it to be merciful for us and to us. And ultimately, that He might be gracious to us and exalted in our lives. You see, there's a purpose in waiting. And I think we all just need to make the decision, I'm not going to be ashamed to wait on the Lord. You know, some people say, well, you're still there. You're still doing this. You're still that. You're still there. What are you waiting on? You should be. You should have. You should go. No, we should wait on the Lord. You see, God's blessing and His character process in our lives, that building process is at stake. And when we step outside of God's plan and His timing and His best so that we can be on schedule, We lose the blessings of the Lord. We take away his exaltation. We lose that gracious process that God's taking us through. This is a very principled message in the sense that you can apply this as you will in your life, as God would show you and see fit. But I encourage you tonight, church, that we would not despise the chase or the waiting of God in our lives as he accomplishes his purpose. And I know when we're done and we come through it, God will get the glory. He already has. And many of you have experienced that waiting on the Lord, and you've seen the end of that. And some of you right now are in the midst of waiting on the Lord. I understand. I understand that frustration, that difficulty, but I tell you tonight to get your expectation from the Lord, and then that builds hope and strength and courage and blessing. Heavenly Father, help us, I pray, as we learn to wait on you. It's an honorable thing, Lord. May we not be ashamed of it. Lord, may we not step outside of your plan for our life, thereby forfeiting your best. You have a perfect will, Lord, that you desire for each of us. And I pray tonight that we might not be guilty, Lord, of stepping outside of that. Help us to wait on you, Lord. And I know that that application in many lives can vary very greatly, but I pray that you would help us, Lord, in all of our needs and all of our life processes, that we might learn to wait on you. But Lord, when you tell us to do something and when you have opened the door, you've made the way possible, may we be faithful to follow. Help us, I pray tonight, as we wait on you. Thank you for the, Lord, the encouragement in this throughout the Old Testament, even the New Testament. Lord, I'm thankful for all that you've done. Help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name.